Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Ted Lyon. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you have drawn us. Hallelujah. We thank you that you have healed us and delivered us and keeping us in so many situations, circumstances, Lord Jesus, that you have delivered us from our strong enemies, from those that have been given wrong thoughts about us from Satan, from those that wrongly and mistakenly confronted us in the days of our being made mature and going through by you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our support. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bringing us out into a blessed, wealthy, healthy place. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have delivered us, you are delivering us, and that you will deliver us forevermore. Because you love us and you delight in us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have your shield of protection, your armor of love, and your armor of salvation. We thank you, Father God, that the right hand of God is upon us and is holding us up. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that your loving kindness is making us strong, enlarging us and strengthening us day by day. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we declare this morning that our enemies are under our feet. We will overtake them. We will stomp them down and crush their head. In your name, Jesus, we thank you again that you've already given us skill, wisdom, power, knowledge, and understanding for this battle, letting us know that we know that we know that we know that our enemies are already subdued under us because of your anointing that abides in us, upon us, and through us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Tedline. Again, I want to take you on a little journey this morning. And you'll be able to go on this journey because you love Jesus. And if you don't love him, you're going to begin to love him. If you don't know him, and even if you know him, it's going to be a journey of reawakening him in you and through you. Praise God. This is Erica Joseph Shepherd. This is the TED Line. And always remember that the spirits are subject unto you. And remember that you are being transformed. Hallelujah. You are being transformed by the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. We're going somewhere. Remember, I told you. I want you to take this little experience with me. You see, I told you, I want to say welcome to the second shift. We now have the morning shift, and we have a second shift. So I thank God for telling me to do this and me doing it and him getting the glory. We have a second shift that gets this message from the website. And you can download an MP3. I found out from the website. So the website is www.40daysofdeliverance.com. www.40daysofdeliverance.com. And as soon as the blog is finished, I immediately put it up on the website. So we're on day 5 in the 40-day fast. And second shift, praise God for you that listen. Because you're in areas where you just, or you work or something. But I know there's a second shift because I get texts from them. I know that there are new people listening every day now. Give God the glory for that. Okay. I want you to relax. You got your paper towels handy? I want you, if you near your oil, I want you to anoint yourself this morning. If you don't, just lay your hand on your own forehead and say, in the name of Jesus, I anoint myself by the power of the Holy Spirit. Quicken me, Holy Spirit, to come alive to you, to your word, in Jesus' name. Okay. Listen and ask the Holy Spirit to help you listen with your heart. You can't get this in the natural. You can hear it, and it'll register in your mind, but you need to get this in your soul arsenal. And there are some things the devil ain't gonna even mess with if he sees that it's there. Ain't gonna mess with you. If you run into witches, it just ain't gonna even matter. Why? Because the glory of God, I say because the glory of God will be so radiant and on you so strong. The devil is not a fool, and he's not crazy either. He just makes other people crazy. He's not going to go where God is. He ain't that stupid. So he tricks people to come down to where he is. But if the glory of God is radiating through you, you ain't going to do it. You're not going to do it. And he ain't going to approach you either. He can't approach that light. Whew. Jesus is the light that lighteth up the whole world. He's not going to approach it. So, now ask the Holy Spirit to let you receive this with your soul this morning. With your soul. God wants to minister to your soul today through this message. So listen now. Jesus did on the cross was the single most important event in the history of the whole world. The greatest battle ever fought took place there. Forces of God and the forces of evil. As Jesus hung on that cross, Satan threw against him his whole arsenal of evil. Satan threw against him all the sin of humankind, against him all the sickness and pain. Satan threw against Jesus all the grief and sorrow. Satan threw against Jesus all the demonic hosts of hell. And then Satan finally threw death itself against Jesus. The horrors of what Jesus suffered there, we will never, never fathom. We will never understand it. But Jesus did it all for love of us. Jesus did it to make possible our rescue from the power of evil. After Satan had done all he could in an attempt to destroy the Son of God, Jesus rose from death victorious. And the victory that Jesus won there be shared by all, everyone who will truly commit their lives to him. Just what
did Jesus accomplish on that cross? You got to see this. You got to see this. You got to feel this. You have to experience this yourself. You got to see Jesus suffering. You got to see, to see it. You got to see that battle. You got to see Jesus hanging on that cross in humility, humiliated, shame, as Satan is throwing his whole arsenal against him. All the sin of all humanity, all the sickness, all humanity was thrown at Jesus on that cross. All the grief and all the sorrow of the whole world forever. All the demonic hosts of hell. You know what you suffered. Can you imagine all of that? And then death. All he could do in an attempt to destroy the Son of God. And Jesus on that cross, knowing that only he could make possible the forgiveness of our sin, all the sins of everyone who ever lived being laid upon him as he hung on that cross, taking the punishment for our sins, taking the punishment of your sins, your father's sins, your grandfather's sins, your great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-great-great-great, all the way back to Adam, so that we could be forgiven. If we will truly repent, turn to him. Jesus suffering, dying, providing a remedy for sin for anyone who will take a hold of it. Why, brothers and sisters? Because without the forgiveness of sin, none of us could ever access eternal life. None of us would enter into the kingdom of God. No, none of us could survive in the presence of God and his holiness if we were still in the midst of our sin. God loves us in such an immeasurable way. And God wants us to be this life and the next life. But God had to find a way to deal with the problem of our sin. The cross was the answer. And because of it, because of Jesus shedding his blood, anyone who comes to Jesus can have heaven, glory, and his blessings rather than hell. Jesus won the victory over sin. Jesus bore the weight of all sin. Jesus defeated it. Now anyone who will in faith receive it can find victory over sins, any sin, which has held them captive or is holding them. See this, brothers and sisters. On the cross, Jesus won for us not only forgiveness of our sins that we've already committed, but Jesus won for us victory over sin so that we don't have to yield any longer to sin's power. Romans 6:6 says, our old self has been crucified with Christ. The sinful body might be destroyed, that we might no longer be slaves of sin. You can take hold of this victory by faith. For any particular sin which you've not been able to overcome, it may take a little while. Jesus already overcame it. Jesus already took it. And Jesus will work with us, with you, with me, in that area of sin. But victory will come because Jesus is the victor that already won the victory. You just have to accept it, believe it, receive it, and lay hold of it in faith. Jesus, listen to me this morning. I want you to experience this. It's already yours. Jesus won for you healing of sickness and pain. Isaiah 53:4. It says, it talks about grief and sorrows. In Isaiah 53, it can be translated sickness and pain, which is the correct translation of the Hebrew words which Isaiah uses. On the cross, Jesus bore your sickness. And Jesus bore your pain. What does that mean? That means he bore your diabetes. He bore your heart problems. He bore whatever sickness you have, including sin sickness, including mental sickness, including financial sickness. Jesus bore our sickness and pain, as well as our sins. Loose yourself. Loose yourself. If you repent of your sins, God will forgive you of them because Jesus bore our sins when he died on the cross. But you got to believe this. Jesus also healed our sickness, our diseases, because he bore them too when he died on the cross. Jesus carried our sickness and won the victory over sickness, disease, and, brothers and sisters, he already healed you through his blood on that cross. But you got to receive it, just like you had to receive the gift of salvation. You were saved by that same blood. You were saved by that same finished work on the cross. The same blood that was shed to save you was shed to heal you, to deliver you. Not only to deliver you out of, but to deliver you into the victory with Jesus. Jesus won the victory over Satan and all his demons. Jesus won the victory over Lucifer and his whole attempt to cause man to fall. Lucifer, who became Satan, and all his demons came at Jesus on the cross, thinking, see this, that they were going to destroy Jesus. But Jesus defeated them and rose victoriously from the dead. And Jesus has given you power and me power, cast out Satan, to destroy the seed, the fruit, the works, the thoughts, the deeds, and the activities, because he's already been defeated. Jesus is the most powerful and man that ever existed. And you are joined to Jesus. Jesus won the victory over death. It could not conquer him. Jesus suffered and died so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus gives victory over everything he became victorious over to all. Not some. To all who will truly believe in him. Your scripture reference would be 1 Corinthians 15:20 and John chapter 11, verse 25. This morning, I'm going to ask you to make that come alive in your life as we go through a confession. Your mouth, with your own anointing, you're going to speak life to yourself this morning. In the name and in the power. What power am I talking about? The resurrection power of Jesus. If you can speak this with me, it's going to take you a little time. Place or something, just think it. But if you can speak it out loud, it'll transform your atmosphere as it comes back to you. You have Jesus living in you. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. I want you to speak life to you. To yourself this morning, as you see Jesus on that cross, these words gonna come alive in your spirit this morning. Sit down, relax, and let's get started. You ready? Let's go. Jesus is my Lord. As an act of my will, I sprinkle and apply the blood of Jesus to myself by the anointing that is within me and upon me, power of God that is within me. I renounce Lucifer. Lucifer, the Lord God rebukes you. Lucifer, I bind and rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan. Satan, the Lord God rebukes you. I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the destroyers. I command of the destroyers to be destroyed, finished in my soul and body. Destroyers, Abaddon, the Lord God rebukes you. I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, Apollyon, in the name of Jesus, I bind up Satan. I bind up Lucifer. I bind up Abaddon. I bind up Apollyon. In the name of Jesus, I speak the truth by the Spirit of Truth, God's Holy Spirit. Today, in the name of Jesus, you have no power over me. Destroyers, in the name of Jesus, you have no power over me. The devil has no power over me. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is Lord over my spirit, over my soul, and over my physical body. The blood of Jesus has been sprinkled over me. And the blood of Jesus has been applied to my spirit, my soul, and my body. In the name of Jesus, I destroy by my anointing every spirit that has been transferred to me or on me with or without my knowledge. In the name of Jesus, I break your thoughts, designs, powers, words, acts, and deeds. In the name of my Lord and Savior, soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of Truth. Bring your spirit into these words today. Let them be empowered with your life. The devil, Satan, demons, evil spirits, and evil human spirits have no power over me. According to Matthew 28:18, Colossians 1, in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and forbid you to hinder, distract, steal, kill, or destroy me, my family, or anything that concerns me or us in any way. According to Mark 16:17, James 4:7. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me
shall prosper. According to Isaiah 54:17. In the name of Jesus, no evil or accident will happen to me. Neither shall any sickness come near me. God, my Father, has given his angels charge over me to keep me safe forever. According to Psalm 91:10-11. In the name of Jesus, I fear no evil, because you, Lord Jesus, are with me. According to Psalm 23:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. According to 1 John 4:4. You, Jesus, have set me free from the curse of sickness, sin, and disease. By your wounds, by your bruises, I have been healed. According to Galatians 3:13, 1 Peter 2:24. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. According to Psalm 23:1. In the name of Jesus, my God is supplying all I need. According to Philippians 4:19. In the name of Jesus, I am child of Almighty God. God loves me, and God takes good care of me. According to Matthew 6:32-33-7-11. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. According to Hebrews 13:6. In the name of Jesus, can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. According to Philippians 4:13. In the name of Jesus, all things are possible to me and for me. I have faith, so nothing is impossible. According to Matthew 17:20 and Mark 9:23. In the name of Jesus, I am a forgiver. I am patient. I am kind. In the name of Jesus, I do walk in love. According to 1 Corinthians 13 and Romans 5:5. In the name of Jesus, gives me favor with people. According to Acts 2:47. In the name of Jesus, you, Jesus, according to your word, you are my wisdom. According to 1 Corinthians 1:30. In the name of Jesus, I possess, I have, my mind has been transformed to the mind of Christ. According to Philippians 2:5. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit of Truth, God's Holy Spirit, lives in me and teaches me all things. God's Holy Spirit guides me, John 14:26-16:13. In the name of Jesus, God, you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, gives me wisdom and understanding. according to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. In the name of Jesus, God, you are for me, according to Psalms 56, verse 9. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you because you will never leave me nor forsake me. And I thank you today. I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. I am in your kingdom of light. Brothers and sisters, accept it, believe it, and receive it. This is Erica Joseph Shepherd. I will see you tomorrow on this TED line. Greater is he that is moving through you. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in your spirit, your soul, and your body than he that is in the world. See you tomorrow on the TED line.
Might as well put your hands together.
The integrated healing prayer model is the ministry of healing as Jesus healed and is still healing and restoring the souls of his people today. Deliverance or spiritual freedom is often sought by people from evil. And evil is the habitation that allows demons to multiply, influence, and infest an individual. It is very important to understand that as Christian believers, we already have eternal victory over evil, Satan, and demons. However, we need to be delivered from the hidden influences of evil in our lives. The only reason the devil ever had any right to become a prince or the rule over us was because we either yielded ourselves to him or were yielded over to him without our knowledge and personal consent. And how does this happen? Through our sins, Romans 6:16, or through the sins of our lineage, having yielded us over to sin before our birth. Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what the Bible says. When we obey sin, we yield ourselves to Satan, who's the author of that sin. Yielding to sin is yielding to the spirit of Satan. God, however, does not impute the sin to us, but the devil does. Our actions either release the power of God or the power of Satan. We cannot afford the luxury of sin because it allows Satan to have access to us. When a Christian called to be a believer does not believe and does sin, they at this point begin relinquishing their power from God over to the devil, opening the doors for the entrance of evil, demons, demonic power, demonic influence, which all results in death in their life, thus producing the need for deliverance from evil, according to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 13. Deliverance from evil gives a person the ability to yield themselves wholly to God, who then gives them the strength and the restoration within their spirit, soul, and body through freedom in Christ Jesus, who has already set them free from the effects and the power of sin. Jesus thus rescuing them from the weakness of their flesh that caused that person to yield to his or her temptations in the first place. Now you begin to have the Holy Spirit, the power of God, filling them or refilling them with his power, and then filling them with the glory of God that will bring them into overcoming victory now and forevermore, giving them a fresh feeling of victory over the influences of the world, a fresh infilling of power that is and will be continually destroying the works and the control of the evil one, along with all of his demons and demonic influence. All of this is done through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is now emanating out of the physical body of that person. Praise God. Who is now, by the person of the Holy Spirit, giving them understanding so that they can know Him, Jesus, who is truth, and the truth of the fact that they are in Jesus, who is true. They are in the Son, Christ Jesus, who is the true God and the Spirit of life. The Word of God says in John chapter 12, verse 31, now shall the prince of this world be cast out, the prince of death, the prince of evil. As you listen to this testimony of Reggie, perhaps you know someone that is being harassed, tormented, and bound. Or if you identify with something you hear on this tape, I can assure you that your condition, the state of your heart, the state of your soul, is also affecting others that are connected to you. Praise God, Reggie.
Praise God, Zerka.
When you first came to this ministry for help, it was upon the recommendation of a friend of yours for deliverance prayer. You came for integrated healing prayer, which you received.
Right.
It was at that point that we began to find out that you had hidden oppression, which is the operation and the manifestation of demonic spirits that are hidden within the spirit of an unbeliever whose spirit has not been sealed by the Holy Spirit, or the soul and body of a believer. In your case, as a Christian believer, hidden within you were spirits of oppression that were hiding through traumatic experiences you had gone through, extreme emotional shock of abandonment,
right,
generational inherited witchcraft spirits,
right,
that were hiding behind ancestral and your cultural lineage.
Right.
Some came in through your mother's side. Some came in through your biological father's side.
Right.
And some have come in through transference and influence through your stepfather's side.
Right.
Am I correct?
Right, you're correct.
You also had demons from your own sin and bondage.
Yes.
You had spirits of hidden oppression operating through mental and emotional areas. Is that right?
Yes.
You had demonic spirits hiding, operating through sexual impurity.
Right.
Low self-esteem.
Right.
Fears.
Right.
Pride.
Right.
Self-exaltation.
Right.
Rebellion.
Right.
Anger.
Right.
Bitterness.
Yes.
Unforgiveness.
Yes.
And physical afflictions within your body.
Right.
You had a cold heart.
Correct.
And all of this spiritual demonic oppression had formed spiritual blocks with regard to you being able to form a true and right relationship with God.
Correct.
Reggie, when you came here, you came with hatred in your heart. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, when I came here, My intent wasn't, it was purely selfish. It wasn't really trying to get to know God and to really have that relationship with Him. I came here purely out of my own desires and wants, and my goal. And I knew that God was the source of what it is that I wanted and desired. But at the same time, I wasn't really seeking Him for Him. I wanted to do whatever I can to make sure that I get from God what it is that I've been praying for.
Okay. You hated a lot of people, and you lived in a fantasy world.
Yes.
Now we yada know what.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that world that you had built up for yourself and why you hated so many people? But we're gonna get into specifics in a minute, but just overall.
Right. I was in a world of my own that I was my own God. I made things happen for myself. I made sure that I was providing for myself. And everybody that was around me, I was making sure that I had control over them in a way of manipulating them and in a way of just being deceitful, just to make sure that whatever it is that I want, whatever it is that I need, gets accomplished however I could do them.
Okay. You had hatred in your heart for your mother.
Right.
Now we yada know why. Can
Correct.
You elaborate on that?
Yes. I hated my mom from when I was 5 years old, and I didn't know that at the time. My mom left me to go abroad from the Philippines to earn a living. She was a single mother, and she wanted to provide. I didn't know how much that really affected me until recently.
Can I interrupt here for 1 minute?
Right.
She wasn't a single mother. You had a stepfather. You had a father who you thought was your biological father. She was not a single mother.
They were separated at the time already.
Oh, okay.
Because they got separated when I was 5 months old.
Okay, but you were born in a blessed, as far as you were concerned, a blessed womb. You came through a blessed birth canal in that your mother and your stepfather, who you thought was your biological father, were married when you were conceived.
I was a product of an illegitimate relation, I'm an illegitimate child. My mom had an affair with my biological father, and she was actually pregnant before her and my stepfather got married.
So your stepfather agreed to do what your biological father didn't want to do. So you were born under the curse of the bastard.
Correct.
Or illegitimacy.
Right.
Okay. So why then, so is this what caused you to have hatred in your heart for your stepfather?
I didn't know my stepfather. I first met him when I was on my way to go to Canada because my mom was sponsoring me from the Philippines. I first met him, I was in grade 6, so I was around 12 years old. And when I moved to Toronto, he moved right after me, like maybe a year afterwards. And that's the first time I really had any kind of dealings with him. And even when he moved up from the Philippines to Toronto with us, I hated the fact that he was there. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. I was not talking to him. And I didn't really want to be associated with him.
Did you feel some kind of, even although, let's go back now to the Philippines when your
right.
mom left you at 5.
Right.
Let's deal with a little bit of what you went through. You know, because what we're looking at is we're looking at the seed and the root of this hatred.
Right. So I grew up in the Philippines without my mom and without my stepdad and without my biological father. My grandparents raised me and my youngest aunt raised me. And growing up, I was very spoiled. My grandparents were overcompensating at the fact that I didn't have my parents around. So everything I wanted, they provided. It was a lack of that, really having that mother-father relationship. They tried the very best that they could, but it was different. Growing up with my grandparents was more of, it was an experience that I don't regret, or I don't by any means wish it didn't happen, but it affected me. It affected my life. It affected how I have become, because I was spoiled and I was the center of the attention all the time. And because also I'm an only child, I had cousins around, but they were mostly focused on me.
Okay, well, let's go back to what happened that began to reinforce this hatred. You told me about an experience when your mother came home from Italy.
Right.
Where she had gone to work as a domestic, and she sent money home for you.
Right.
But the money isn't what you want. You didn't understand that.
No.
As a child.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about how the deception came in and caused the altar to form.
Right. So my mother came home from Italy after working there for a bit. And I remember now what transpired. She came home and we were at my aunt's in the Philippines home in Manila. And it was nighttime and it was supposed to be like, you know, she was supposed to sleep with me on the bed for the night. But since there were people around, she wanted to chat with family and friends instead of sleeping with me on the bed. And so I was asking her, don't go, just stay here with me, because I just had that longing for her. I wanted to be hugged by her in the bed and just spend time with her. But she left me, and she went outside instead and to have a social evening. I didn't know how much that affected me. When I was at that age at the time, I was really... I felt abandoned and rejected. And because of that, I didn't know that how much it hurt me at 5. So then therefore, a 5-year-old personality, an alter, formed.
Mm-hmm. And what was that alter's name?
Little Reggie.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go back to emphasize something a little bit. We're going to get along here, but your grandparents were brought up the old way, the old customs and cultures, rituals.
Right.
And your background is Catholicism.
Right.
But it's Catholicism in the form of what we call syncretism, which is where you take one religion and merge it with the customs and rituals of another religion. So let's talk about what they did to you then that the enemy latched on to bring into manifestation in your life today. So let's talk about that.
Right. So during my deliverance, it was revealed that because I was an illegitimate child, my grandparents and my mother was very adamant not to let anybody know. They wanted to keep that a secret. And so in doing that, they offered me up to an idol. They offered me up as a way of they thought that they were protecting me. They thought that they were protecting that whole idea of the fact that I was a bastard child. And because of that, the devil had legal ground to take a hold of my life.
Yeah, which he did. You gotta maybe explain a little bit about the name of the town and what you're talking about here, because nobody knows what you're talking about.
Right. So in the Philippines, where I was born and raised, we live in a town called Santa Maria Magdalena. So it's Saint Mary Magdalene. So I didn't know.
Let me interject. And Mary Magdalene was a whore.
Right.
Okay, before having the demons cast out.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So I didn't know that. Because of, so there's culture and traditions where we live that they celebrate this saint, this idol. There's a big statue, there's a couple of them. There's one on the north part of the town and on the south part of the town. And there is a fiesta during May 27th. And that is to celebrate the town. And in doing so, they parade the statues around and they worship that statue.
Mm-hmm.
And so recently, during my deliverance, I found out that everybody who's ever born or lived in that town is under that idol's rulership. They have no choice. You're born in there. Unless you get saved, you are under that idol's rulership. And that's where I was under. I was under that rulership. And it refused to let me go because they had legal ground. I was offered up to that idol.
Mm-hmm. But they also had legal ground because your grandfather was a shaman.
Yes, I found that out.
Let's talk about that.
Yes, so he was a shaman. It has been passed down from generation to generation. Again, it was tradition, it was rituals, it was following the tradition and the rituals. And I don't believe that they set out to do it that way, but that's what they've been brought up. And unless the person get saved, it's something that it just gets passed down
mm-hmm.
from one generation to another.
Mhm. And we understand that.
Right.
You know, we understand that. And the reason we're doing this, we want people to understand that don't understand.
Right.
Why they might be going through some things in their life through no fault of their own, but by inheritance.
Right.
Actually, he was considered a good man. He was considered a healer. He was considered a problem solver. And he was going by the knowledge he had received from who? His father.
Right.
And his father's father.
Right.
And his father's father.
Right.
According to the culture.
Right.
Right? But when you got saved, you broke that power. However, the enemy doesn't give up quickly, and he doesn't believe you. I mean, if you have something that's been in a family line for thousands of years, then all of a sudden here comes one person and say, oh, I got the power to break this. Well, Satan don't give up that easy. Okay, you had hatred in your heart for your ex-husband. Now we yada.
Right.
Know why.
Right.
Let's elaborate.
I hated my ex-husband because I just hated men. I hated men because of my...
Well, we need to hold it right here.
Okay.
That is the spirit of man-hater.
Man-hater.
But it doesn't mean you don't love the pleasures of a male company, but it's something resident in you that will cause you to fight against a man.
Right.
So we got to talk about why you really had hatred in your heart for your husband.
It started from hatred towards my biological father, my stepfather, and so it was a way of, I didn't know how to submit, I didn't know how to be a wife, I didn't know how to love, and I wanted control. So any type of authority figure I despised. I could not be controlled. I would not submit. I was the one that wanted to be in control. I was the one that wanted to be the one who's dominating.
Well, now, we have to ask here, was your hatred for your ex-husband legitimate? Was it real?
No.
Was it founded on truth?
No, it wasn't real. I hated him because of the fact that I blamed him for having an ectopic pregnancy. I thought at the time that I was a victim because of the fact that before we were married, we had premarital sex, and as a result of that, I found out I had chlamydia, which was an STD. And when I had the ectopic pregnancy, I was told by doctors that my tubes were damaged. That's why it ended in an ectopic pregnancy. And the side effects of chlamydia is, that's what it does. It destroys the tubes of the woman.
Okay, but let's go even back further than that.
Right.
What else in you perverted caused you to hate your ex-husband? Even back to when you first met him. Even through the engagement. Even at the altar.
I hated him because of the fact that he actually didn't want to marry me. I forced him to marry me in a way because my goal was to have a husband, to have children. That's all I ever wanted. I wasn't reaching out for like the best career or even education. It was, I just wanted to be a wife and a mother. And so when I met my ex-husband, I had that in mind. And because of that whole STD situation, I blamed him for it, and I placed that over his head. And because of that, everything that I've ever wanted, he catered to. And so I wanted to get married, and he agreed. And later on, I found out that he really didn't want to get married. And looking at it now, I saw where there were signs and where he indicated to me that that's not really what he wanted, but I ignored them because I wanted what I wanted and I was going to get it.
Mm-hmm. No matter what.
No matter what.
You mentioned a few minutes ago, I don't know if you realized it, but you said you had a hatred in your heart for authority.
Right.
Now we, yada, know why. But in that hatred for authority, explain that.
I don't like to be told what to do. So anytime that there's an authority figure, I would rebel against them. I would manipulate my way to make sure I don't do whatever it is that the authority figure is asking me to do, or even respect that authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to follow, or I didn't want to submit to authority. I was rebellious.
And how do you see that playing into how you were raised and the abandonment and all of that?
I see that as I was trying to protect myself. I didn't want to get hurt. So if I am in control, I don't have anyone to hurt me. I put the shield around me to make sure I don't get rejected, abandoned, hurt, or I just didn't want to have anyone hurt me.
Okay. We mentioned a minute ago that you had the spirit of man-hater. Now, we know that you love men, and it's nothing like the world. If they don't know about that spirit, they'll think, oh, lesbianism or something like that. But it has absolutely nothing to do with that.
Right.
It has everything to do with you just didn't like what?
I just didn't like to submit. I didn't like to be under anyone's authority.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You, Reggie, come across as a happy, confident, and in love person. But we found out that you even hated yourself.
Right.
Now we know, yada,
right.
Why. Explain that.
Yes. So I have been wearing a mask. Whatever I portray into the world is that's who I want you to see. But inside, I was depressed. I was insecure. Didn't feel any self-worth. This just doesn't feel like I'm worthy of anything. But the funny part is, at the same time, I thought of myself as the great one, that I'm perfect. I'm holy. Nothing's wrong with me. If you don't like me, it's not me, it's you. Something's wrong with you. So it was a battle. And it was a split in a way that I'm just now beginning to know who the real Reggie is, who I really am. Because I've been wearing this mask forever.
Mm-hmm. You came across as loving God and religious.
Right.
Yet, you didn't really know God.
That's right.
Now we, yada,
right.
Know why. Elaborate on that.
Right. So when I first came to God was because of the ectopic pregnancy. As I mentioned, that's all I ever wanted, was to be married and have kids. So when I had ectopic pregnancy, I was devastated. And because during that time, the doctors were telling me that there's a possibility that I could never have kids. And that nearly killed me. I couldn't accept that. and it brought me to a depression, and I didn't know that. So at that time, I was just so desperate. I wanted to get pregnant so badly. I wanted to have kids. And so I knew that that was something that I couldn't do myself. And I thought, okay, let me try God. And so when I did, that's when I started going to church. It was like, okay, I had a checklist, start going to church, get baptized, and start serving God. But it wasn't because of who God is. It was because of what He can give me. So I was serving God for selfish reasons. It was because I thought that if I did all these things, that God would have no choice but to bless me with kids, because that's what I've been praying for and that's what I've been asking Him for.
Mm-hmm. So as you're listening to this, some of you would be thinking, like, how could this be happening? Well, Reggie, you came here as a Spirit-filled believer. How could you have so much demonic oppression?
Right. Well, when I thought I first got saved was around 2007. So I had that type of pregnancy in 2005. And then I got the failed marriage started to fail around 2007. So from there, my crying out to God got intensified, because I didn't want to get a divorce. I wanted to save my marriage, and I wanted to do whatever I can to make sure that happens. And so I was turning to God every service at church I was there. I had counseling from one pastor to another. Every single day, some Christian believer that was around me was counseling me one way or another. It was a terrible time for me emotionally. All I did was cry. I would wake up and cry. I would go to sleep and cry. During the day, I'd be crying. Everywhere I was, it was awful. It was miserable. And I was crying out to God, because during that time, it was the only way that I was able to keep my sanity, because when I did go to church, I did feel that peace. And when I was getting counseling from my pastor at the time, I did feel encouraged, but it was empty. It wasn't long lasting, because I was pulling on others. It wasn't coming from the inside. My heart wasn't transformed. My heart wasn't right towards God. And so it didn't last.
Well, we might need to add here, in conjunction with going to church, you were also going to occult people. You were going to New Age people. You were going to witches. Now, I'm not saying that you did this intentionally, but you were just looking for help, whichever way it would come.
Right. So I was seeking everything that I could to help my body as well, to make sure that whatever the doctors told me doesn't happen. So I sought out naturalists. Where I even got massages on my belly, on my womb, because I was told it'll increase the blood flow, and whatever blockages is in there, it'll just come out. I went to a blood analysis person, which I found out was a witch, and I willingly offered up my blood, because in a way for them to look at my blood was I had to draw blood on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that, or I didn't want to see that as something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I also, in the Philippines, when I came home, I was told that there's this person that does, she would massage my body, which she did, and I went to her a few times, and she advised me to boil this.
Just say a ritual, don't.
Okay, I did this ritual. I followed this ritual to make sure that whatever was in me would come out.
Did they work?
No, but it opened me up to a lot of demons and spirits.
Mm-hmm. Now, excuse me, the integrated healing prayer changed your life each time that you came here.
Right.
Starting with the fact that when you left here the very first time, the anointing of God was so strong on you that when you came in contact with one of your close friends, it caused her to have a demonic manifestation on her job, and she then began to seek integrated healing prayer, and she came back with you the next time.
Correct.
But that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But the integrated healing prayer ministry so changed your life that it totally changed your relationship from hatred back to love with your mother and your father.
Right.
And it gave you, through the Holy Spirit, through the formation of your new beginning relationship with God, it gave you the ability to minister to your mother all the way up to her departure from this earth.
Right.
After receiving, all I can say is that we ministered Jesus to her and she received it.
Right.
And that's all that I'm concerned about.
Right.
So let's talk about how it began to turn hatred into love, even in life with your mother.
Right.
And your stepfather.
Right. So I just, growing up, I hated my parents. And I knew that there was a feeling of hatred there, but it wasn't something that I would be ever able to admit. So ever since I received the integrated healing prayer model, I was able to really see how much I never honored my parents. I never did. I was very rebellious towards them. I never really wanted to have any kind of close relationship with them. But since then, I was able to see them as how God wanted me to see them. And by the grace of God, He started to touch my heart to have that love towards my parents, to start honoring them, to start spending time with them. I never spent time with my parents, and I never went anywhere with them. And since then, I was able to spend time with my parents. I would visit them, would go out to eat on a weekly basis. I would be having a telephone conversation with my mom minimum one time a day before there'll be weeks, sometimes a couple of months, that I haven't talked to my parents or even seen them. So I thank God for restoring our relationship.
And tell the listeners how God even let you sleep in the bed with your mother and broke all the demonic division from 5 years old.
Correct.
When she hugged you.
Right. So it was last year, this time, July 2013, that my mom came here to Walterboro with me, and we stayed in your house, and we shared a bed together, and I remember her and I in that bed, and she hugged me and held me. And I was even afraid to move because I just wanted to freeze that moment. I wanted to make that moment last because that was the moment that I wanted from 5 years old. that it didn't happen. That's when I felt that rejection and abandonment. And so when that happened, I felt like that little girl was so happy, and just the desires of her heart were answered. And me, I'm just so grateful, because as a mother and daughter, that's the first time I've ever lied down on the bed with my mom and her holding me and hugging me. And that was such a blessing.
And your dad?
And my dad now. We have, it's a process relationship, but, you know, I am just so grateful, because even now too, like, I'm able to talk to him on the phone, and I'm beginning to have that concern for him, making sure that he's all right, and I'm even able to tell him I love him, which those words would never have come out of my mouth before, never. I didn't even know how to call him or address him. Now, calling him dad is just a natural thing.
Reggie, look at the transforming truth of the power and glory of God.
Right.
And how it has blessed you.
Right.
In the fact that it exposed, uncovered, and destroyed many hidden works of darkness in your life. The integrated healing prayer model by the power of the Holy Spirit reconnected you to Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus connected you to God.
Right.
And it was done through the operation of the revelatory gift of the Holy Spirit in operation through the integrated healing prayer model and the gift of Yada.
Right.
The integrated gift of discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, culminating through the gift of knowing Yada.
Right.
Being able to discern all that evil that had been hidden from you as a person, as a human being, embedded, however, within your soul from long ago. Look at this. The spirit of a witch without you knowing it.
Right.
Lucifer without you knowing it.
Right.
Shamanism without you knowing it.
Right.
Murder, death, stealing, killing, destroying you.
Right.
Yet hidden from you.
Right.
All fueled by the power of sin.
Right.
Iniquities and transgressions.
Right.
All of these spirits on assignment to destroy your posterity.
Right.
But with a great deliverance, God has already begun the work to turn this all around to be the greatest miracle in your life.
Right.
What would you like to say to anybody hearing this?
I am so grateful to God, because even though I had all of these things, how awful I really was, that He is so merciful and so faithful, that when I came to Him, even though my intentions were wrong and selfish, He turned that around to really start the process of purging me, cleansing me, delivering me, saving me, to change my heart, change my mind towards Him. And I cannot express how thankful I really am. And I am just more determined now to just really love Him and serve Him and obey Him. And so I'm not saying that the process was easy, It was hard. There were times when I wanted to quit. There were times when I just didn't know what else to do. But I thank God because He has been and still giving me the strength and the grace. And for His love, I am just so grateful.
Perhaps you know someone that is being, that has on a mask like Reggie has.
Right.
And in reality, they're being harassed, tormented, and they're bound. Perhaps it's you. I want to assure you of one thing, that your condition, the state you're in, hell, is also affecting everyone around you.
Right.
And everything connected to you.
Right.
Jesus has provided a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. God tells you that He will bring the hidden things to light, and then shall men have praise of God. You can call us or contact this ministry or any ministry that can minister freedom to you, because God wants to deliver you with a great deliverance. Why? So that you can possess more of Him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 says, "And deliver us from evil, for God is the kingdom." You can't see the kingdom, you can't enter into the kingdom bound. And the power, you'll never possess the power bound. And you will never have the glory flowing in you, upon you, or around you, except there be a great deliverance.
To everyone that has been connected with me during my demonic oppression and has suffered, I ask you to forgive me. Reggie.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. Yeah.